The Houthis continued to attack central Israel with long-range missiles. Hostage negotiations are stalled again, and IDF operations in Gaza have cranked up this week. Terrorist attacks here in the United States. Netanyahu's in the hospital and out of the hospital. Iran plans to build a nuke before Trump is in office. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, January 3 of the year 2025. This is our first broadcast in the new year. And here's the news for the week. The Houthi rebels are continuing to shoot long-range missiles and launch drones into central Israel. They attempted to target the main power station in Tel Aviv. This would have been a critical strategic hit had they been successful. And apparently the Houthis are trying to go after targets in central Israel. So far, the drones have only been attacking southern cities and coastal cities in Israel. These attacks have been coming at night, so that means that the people in Israel living in the central part of the nation are getting air raid sirens, having to get up, get into bomb shelters, into their safe rooms. It's very disruptive to the general populace there in Israel while all of this is going on. That's part of the reason for the attacks, is to harass Israel. Israel's been successful, though, in shooting them down. The problem is that sometimes when they get the shot in and get the kill in, why, the shrapnel from those weapons falls down onto the earth, and they don't want that shrapnel falling down in various locations in central Israel. But that's one of the hazards associated with that type of weaponry. The hostage negotiations are at a standstill again. So let's talk about what's really holding things up. Israel, of course, wants all of the hostages returned. They're willing to offer a ceasefire, a temporary ceasefire for a while, something up to 60 days. No hostilities in Gaza for that period of time. They're willing to also go in stages. In other words, a humanitarian release of certain key hostages first to get them back as quickly as possible, and also to potentially open up the Rafah crossing, and that would allow some of the Palestinians, if they wish to leave Gaza, could leave. They're kind of hoping that maybe some of the Hamas terrorists will desert and they will leave Gaza as well. However, Israel has stated from the very beginning they will not give up on the war with Hamas. Benjamin Netanyahu stated that as the first objective, along with getting the hostages back way back October 7th, and he has not given up on that objective. Hamas, of course, wants a permanent ceasefire, and they want that so that Hamas can survive. They want to continue to control the Gaza area or work cooperatively with the Palestinian Authority. And of course, Netanyahu's stated position that Hamas is not going to survive. The prisoner release, the prisoners they're asking to be released, Israel's been talking about them, allowing them to be exiled to other nations. Hamas wants them returned to the Gaza to join forces with them and bring reinforcements back to them, particularly in the leadership category, because there's a lot of Hamas leaders that are in prison. And this is the ironic part of it. If they can get this, then Hamas will stand up and declare that they were victorious over Israel. And for them, victory is surviving all the attacks from Israel. Israel is not going to give Hamas a victory. So as a result, they're not willing to release the captives because their whole survival at this point is based on holding the captives. And of course, they want to control which captives are released and when they're released, as opposed to Israel dictating that. Israel is sending representatives back to Qatar to begin again negotiations for the release of the hostages and for a potential ceasefire. If we see the same results that we've seen before multiple times, then we're going to be right back here with the same news story. IDF operations in Gaza. This last week, the IDF was able to go into a major hospital, the last major operating hospital. They assaulted that, and they found dozens of terrorists, primarily terrorists, in that posing as medical staff. They were using it as a cover so they could hide. The patients were evacuated to other medical locations, and there were no civilian casualties, but they did arrest more than 240 of these terrorists posing themselves as medical personnel. Israel is also supporting with medical equipment into Gaza, supplying blood and other things that are needed in the other medical centers. So this is not a case where the IDF is going in and not fulfilling humanitarian responsibilities in protecting Palestinian citizens, particularly those in hospitals. They are doing their part, but of course Hamas is complaining, the rest of the world is complaining about what they're doing. In the meantime, the IDF is going in, they're finding more tunnels, destroying them, finding pockets of terrorists, killing them. And just to add to the fun, Hamas somehow was able to launch rockets into Israel on New Year's Eve. They didn't go anywhere, they just fell dead. And the Israeli Air Force is carrying out airstrikes again on those locations where they think there are rockets being launched and so forth in Gaza. This New Year's Day, we woke up to the news that there had been a terrorist attack in New Orleans. Down in Bourbon Street, there was a ramming attack with a truck, had an ISIS flag in it. ISIS is the terrorist that Trump went after first in his presidency. That's the reason why we have special ops forces in Syria. That's the reason why the U.S. has been bombing ISIS locations there in northern Syria since Syria collapsed. And this was being classified as a lone wolf attack. There appears to be no coordination with other terrorist elements. This is a man who was radicalized for the ISIS thinking, and he decided to take himself out and do what he was doing, of harming as many Americans as he could. There was also another explosion in the form of a terrorist attack in Las Vegas. In this case, another fellow, a soldier, just like the other one, rented this truck and set off explosive material in it in front of a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. Only he was killed. So a couple of people were injured, but no one else was killed. Both of these men served in the U.S. Army, and it really brings up a question, was there a connection between the two of them? At the moment, the FBI says there is none, but we'll find out because they're still investigating what motivated these people, why did they do what they did. Appears to be a couple of suicides to look like terrorist attacks. The spotlight, though, is now on the city of New Orleans, particularly their government, the mayor, and the city council and the chief of police. It appears, based on the interviews after the terrorist attack, they don't seem to be on top of the situation as to what's going on. They did not prepare correctly. And apparently they had funds that was supposed to help to prepare the city against such an attack as this. Apparently those monies got used elsewhere. And so that's the reason why there's going to be a big investigation. And they're going to find out why the city management of New Orleans didn't do a very good job of protecting its citizens from the attack that came. In Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu finally had to go into the hospital. He had to do prostate surgery. And the surgery was successful. He was recovering in the hospital when suddenly he got up out of the hospital and he went to the Knesset. He had to cast a deciding vote in the Knesset, because Ben-Gvir, who's one of his conservative coalition members, tried to pull a quick one. More particularly, he tried to pass a bill that would give him increased power as the head of the Israeli police, and Netanyahu didn't agree to that. Several other people didn't agree to that in the Likud party. They voted it down. So Ben-Gvir is kind of on the wrong side of the ledger with Netanyahu at the moment. Gallant, if you recall, who was the IDF defense minister, who was fired by Netanyahu not too long ago, has finally resigned completely from the Knesset and doesn't want anything to do with the government at all now. He was the one who was fighting Netanyahu all along, representing the hostage families, trying to get the hostages relief, but allowing Hamas to survive. And Netanyahu stated from the very beginning that the government's position was Hamas is to die, the hostages are to be released. These aren't either or. These are two goals that must be done at the same time. So that's the reason why Netanyahu has held firm. Gallant broke away from him, wanted to change the policy of the government, but he wasn't the prime minister and couldn't do that. So he got fired as a result. So Gallant probably is looking to form a political party and make a comeback and probably come against Netanyahu in the next election in Israel. He is relatively popular by a number of people in Israel. The other controversy that's bubbling along within the Knesset with the Likud party and the other parties has to do with the drafting of Haredi men. These are the ultra-Orthodox men that don't serve in the IDF. They keep going to yeshiva under the understanding of the religious parties. Well, they're defending the country by studying Torah. And of course, the government is finally getting fed up with that and say they should serve just like every other family has to send their young men and young ladies to serve. And so the Knesset is always trying to figure out how to get the religious parties to be part of the government. Of course, they want funding to fund their yeshivas and be able to keep their Haredi men out of the military. There was a rabbi here not too long ago that complained that we can't have Haredi men join the IDF or join the military because they will give up their religion. And every young man that goes into the military finds out the military is a different lifestyle than civilian lifestyle, along with religious functions. And yet they still believe in God. I know a lot of military men who believe in God devoutly. And for some reason, this rabbi doesn't think the Haredi men will stay faithful to their faith if they join the IDF, which I think is a lame excuse. Quite honestly, I'm of the opinion, along with a lot of other citizens, that every citizen should be willing to share their young men and young women to help defend the nation. And so those laws associated with that, they are before the Knesset. You'll hear more about those in the future. Israel is still attacking targets in Syria. They're still going in and taking out military hardware that was owned by the Syrian army to make sure that the new Syrian rebels who've taken over the country don't load that stuff up and use it against Israel. The jury is still out about who the new Syrian government is going to be, what the rebel leader will do. And of course, we've shared with you last week, the U.S. has taken the bounty off of him. And the most recent pictures of him, he's not wearing his rebel outfit anymore. He's wearing his coat and tie, looking like a politician. But Israel did something here this last week that was kind of interesting about Syria that we hadn't seen before. They admitted that several months ago, they made, even before the Syrian rebels took over, they made a deep insertion into Syria with 120 special ops forces. They went into a factory that was being controlled by Iran, a missile factory in Syria. They went in and destroyed that factory and got all the documents associated with it to understand what Iran was doing and what they're trying to build there and so forth. And they finally admitted they slipped in with those forces, did their work, and then got them back out of there again. The Lebanese government, this is interesting, has now announced that they're stopping all money transferring from Iran to Hezbollah. Apparently, an Iranian airliner would fly into Beirut. The money would be transferred to Hezbollah, and the Lebanese government has now said no more. And this is part of the Lebanese government is finally standing up to Hezbollah and saying, no more do we want you controlling our country and forcing our country into different positions, especially conflict with Israel. So they decide to cut the money off for Hezbollah that was coming from Iran. Further evidence that Hezbollah is continuing to be isolated now and no longer has the financial support from Iran, at least not that method with the Lebanese government giving an okay. Not too long ago, Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, had to sit down and brief Biden in between one of his vacations and explain to him there is a very good possibility that Iran is going to make a mad dash in the next 17 days to build nuclear weapons. We've known that they've been enriching uranium, but it's only a short time to do it. We've talked about that many analysts are saying Iran is within a two-week period of being able to build nukes. And Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, believes that this is a very good possibility. And if that is so, if they find out that Iran has made the decision to build nuclear weapons, then Jake Sullivan is telling the DOD they need to get ready to intervene, and this may be happening before January 20th. So we're talking about in the next 17 days, we're going to have to watch very closely to see what Iran does, what the U.S. does about it. And by the way, Israel is also watching very closely this going on. And they also have planned some attacks going after Iran. And there is a consensus now building, both in the U.S. and in Israel, on their military elements. Now is the time to take out the Iranian nuclear sites rather than waiting until Trump gets here. Benjamin Netanyahu, I think, is still hoping that he can wait until Trump is in office. I think he wants the U.S. to do this. And I think he believes that Trump will make the decision. He'll pull the trigger to stop the Iranian nuclear program. And so he would like to keep Israel from having to do it. Besides that, Israel is pretty involved with taking on Syria and the Houthis and Gaza and Hezbollah and the whole assortment of things. He doesn't need another front, doesn't need another major military action to go forward. So I think he's hoping that the U.S. will do it. Now, will Joe Biden pull the trigger and make a decision like that? Well, as I've shared with you before, in these last days leading until President-elect Trump is in office, these are some scary days for here in the U.S. concerning Joe Biden. He apparently is cashing in on his vacation time, making some luxury tours down into the Caribbean, handing out awards to all of his liberal friends, spending money that was sitting in different funds, handing out grants like you can't believe, billions of dollars. And so would he be willing to do the right thing with regard to Iran? I have no confidence that he will do that. As a result, it's very clear that Biden's final decisions here are fraught with great danger, not only for Israel, for the rest of the world, but for also for us here in the United States. Continue to pray that things, we make it until President Trump is in position and be able to carry out his policies. President Jimmy Carter passed away here just recently this last week, and they're planning on his funeral. And there's several actions that are going to take place, including he'll lay in state at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. before he's buried back in Georgia. Jimmy Carter, as president, was a very decent man. He's known for that. He was a humanitarian. Even after he left the presidency, he was still very involved in doing a lot of humanitarian projects. While he was president of the United States, he taught a Bible class Sunday mornings. And he's the guy in the campaign who shared his testimony with the press about, quote, being born again as a believer. And if you remember in those days, well, that hit the open press. Other people hadn't heard of that expression, a very common expression among many believers about being born again. It's about when you receive the Lord and the regeneration that takes place with spiritual rebirth. So he was the guy that popularized that, did that. And if you also recall, one of his big name claims was that he was able to secure at Camp David a peace agreement between Egypt and Israel, which is still holding to this day. However, in the midst of all of that, as being a good Baptist, a good New Testament Christian, he did not believe the Bible when it talks about God's promise about the land of Israel. He also didn't believe that God's covenant with the people of Israel remains even to this day. He considered those to be simply historical stories of the Bible, and that what is happening now today is purely a secular matter with regard to it and so forth. As a result of his positions, and in particular the last actions he took, which was the Iranians taking hostages from the U.S. Embassy, and they had to spend 444 days before President Reagan came in, he lost the re-election bid, and so God only allowed him to be president for one term. I believe that that many of us that followed afterwards, we did not like his presidency. We didn't think he did a good job. As a supporter of Israel, as a believer in the Bible, it bothered me immensely that he could claim to be a Christian and believe in the Messiah, yet he doesn't believe God's promises for Israel and for the land of Israel, which to me is paradoxical. Please pray for Israel and for what continues on. The war still goes on in the Middle East. Pray for our own government and that we will be able to move forward in a correct manner, a righteous manner. We need to continue to pray for the hostages and their soon return, because I can assure you they're being tortured. It's more than 450 days for them to be in a dark place. Many of them hadn't seen sunlight, being starved to death and being tortured. And the reports coming back right now are horrific as to how they are being treated. It's horrendous. There's a part of me of righteous indignation that wants to rise up, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and pray. Thank you for viewing this program. Please think about subscribing to lionandlamb.tv, not only to get this program without interruption, but all the other materials that Lion and Lamb puts out and teaches about the Bible and about our faith. In the meantime, Shabbat Shalom.